Well, if you'll turn your Bibles to Colossians 3 while we're getting ready for today's message. Colossians 3. This is shutdown Sunday number 12. I'm believing that maybe next week will be no more shutdown Sundays. Last week, we looked at a handful of scriptures. One of them was in Ecclesiastes 3, where Solomon was revealing to us in his look at the world with the wisdom that God had given him, that there was a time to tear down and a time to build up. And this week, we're going to ask the question, we're going to ask ourselves, are we building up or tearing down? Kind of a personal challenge. So we all can't help but notice that there's this clash going on. There's this battle, this struggle. And we're living in a time where there's building up and there's tearing down. And they're in a head-on clash. We're living in a time where good is spoken of as evil, and evil is spoken of as good. And, you know, I ask the question, I ask God, where's all the building up? Because so much of what I see is tearing down.
The building up isn't being covered in the news.
True that. Exactly. And we, you know, as Danny brings up the point, we're all influenced. We're influenced because the media has the ability to take a minority and make it look pervasive across the entire world, across the entire nation. I don't know if you've ever noticed what the media will do. Whenever you see violence going on or supposedly a war or a battle going on, they always show a tire that's on fire, right? You know, the black smoke coming up and the flame. And, you know, it's framed in on the camera. But if you were here, all you would see is a 2-foot diameter of rubber on fire, and that's it. You know, but they frame it in and make it look like there's devastation across a whole big place. So we are being influenced, not some of us, and then many of the people around us that we interact with. But God tells us, do not be deceived. And He promises to give us wisdom if we but ask. In this clash that we see going on, there is a solution, and it's Jesus. There's only one solution. And test me on this. Is this coming week, as you bump into the media and you see all of the clash going on, you know, ask, what is the solution to that issue? What are the solutions that they are offering up? And consider that the only solution is Jesus. I'm going to go through that in a little more detail as we go on, because today's message is, are we being overcome with evil? Are we being overcome with evil? Personally and as a society. So, what is influencing you? What's influencing you? And who has a real solution for racism and violence? Are you there with me on Colossians 3? Verse 11. Well, let's start with 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, But Christ is all in all. So we see in this passage that we are all of one body. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we are brought into one family. And there's unity in that. There's unity because of Jesus. Yeah, we may be from different places. We may look different. We may be on different rungs of the economic ladder. All kinds of the things that are different. But in Christ, we are one. We are only one. Turn with me to Romans. So go to the left a few books to Romans 10. Verse 12. Romans 10, verse 12. Are you there yet?
Amen.
All right. Let's pick up verse 11. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him, in other words, in Jesus, will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's what we were talking about during communion, that this sacrifice that Jesus made is available to all. And when we are birthed into this new family, this new body, we're all one family. Next slide. We're going to read through Romans 12. And as we read through this, do a little self-examination. I mean, most of us have learned how to pretend to love others, how to speak kindly, how to avoid hurting their feelings. We've learned how to appear to take interest in them. We may even be skilled in pretending to feel moved with compassion when we hear of their needs, or to even become indignant when we learn of any injustice that they've suffered. But God calls us to a real and sincere love that goes far beyond pretense and politeness. Sincere love requires concentration and effort and even sacrifice. It means helping people become better people. And it demands our time, our money, and our personal involvement. And what we will see is that the power of the gospel is both creative and transformative. How many of us truly understand that we are not the same people we used to be before we came to know Jesus? You know, when you consider yourself today, and you look back at what you were yesterday, I don't know about you, but I'm shocked. I find it hard to believe that I was that guy. And because we've been transformed. We haven't just been washed off. We've been transformed. And so the consequences of this, the power of the gospel, are radical. Radical. The change is dramatic. So if you're with me in Romans 12, we'll begin with verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. If that wasn't tough enough, now we're gonna go to 201. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. How many of us is this our first instinct? Is this the way we think first? When somebody's harming us or persecuting us, oh, this person needs a blessing. This can only,
people can do that?
Yeah. This can only come. It's a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual event happening in us. It can only happen through the Spirit working through us. 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Continue on with me into verse 17. He goes on to say, repay no one evil for evil. Repay no one evil for evil. Do not repay evil with evil. Now, truth be known, most of us, that's our first thought. When somebody does us wrong, right? I mean, you know, even I have to, wait a minute, whoa, have to check myself. Because we want to rise up, we want to fight back. When we see evil, and when it's particularly aimed at us, we want to do that. But even we might want to repay evil for what evil is doing to somebody else. And we say, well, it's justified. Because I want to protect that person. They're suffering evil, so I'm going to get in there and repay evil with evil. He says in the rest of this verse, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. So there is the key. When we are rising up in our spirit, we want to repay evil with evil because they deserve it. We need to remember it's not our job. It's God's job. God will, he has promised, to avenge the wrongs of those that are poor and broken and needy, and even those who've just suffered wrong because of the name of Jesus. And even Jesus tells us we will. But we've got to learn not to take it in our own hands, but to trust God and what he says. The rest of verse 19. But leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, in other words, here's what you really should do, instead of what you really want to do, what your flesh wants to do, here's what you should do. Verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Can we change our thought process to this? When we have somebody that's in an adversarial relationship with us, coming at us, even perpetrating evil on us, maybe stealing from us, can we think this way? Okay, I need to bless this person. Or maybe they're hungry, maybe they're thirsty. Somehow, I've got to find a way to bless this person instead of doing what I really want to do. And And then we're praying. We're asking God, okay, show me how I can bless this person. I need an idea. I need you to create a situation or a moment where I can do this. And if you will be faithful to that request, God will do that. And it's just amazing what comes out of that if you will follow through that.
You know, the primary problem I have is trying to include any of this in thinking about corrupt politicians. That's where I have trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the challenge. This is why we have the message today. And this is, we need to transform our thinking somehow, some way.
So growing up, anytime someone was asking God to forgive them, my mom always told us, kill them with kindness. It may make them mad, but eventually they'll give in. And it's always worked every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he finishes up this passage, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This doesn't really make sense unless and except through Jesus. Our last church over in Del Norte, when we first arrived there, they were meeting in this outbuilding of this nursing home. And the rest of the nursing home was essentially vacant. But this nursing home would have this huge Halloween party every Halloween. And so they would make a haunted house. And this was like 1 month after we started at that church. And here we are, we have a church, and in the same building, they're having a haunted house. And this was not just your little kitty, you know, jack-o'-lantern haunted house. No. Man, there was blood all over. They had all kinds of, you know, mutilations and things in there. It was just crazy. And, of course, we wanted to exert our rights as the church and the tenant of the building. But instead, we found a way, this verse directed us to overcome that evil with good. And we began to find ways to try to bless them, to try to serve the residents of their nursing home. And then we got told that we were going to have to move out of the building. No longer could have it. We kept trying to overcome evil with good. And before you know it, all of a sudden, they invited us to take over the chapel, the empty chapel. It was being used as a storage closet in this nursing home. It was 2 or 3 times as big. It was perfectly set up for a church. And they gave that to us for even less rent than we were paying in the other one. It was just incredible. And so we really learned.
And they started bringing the residents to church because it was wheelchair access, so they could. It was attached to where the rooms that the residents were in, so it was super easy for them. So they didn't have to go outside to bring them to church. So now suddenly all these residents who hadn't probably been to church in years were able to come to church.
Yeah.
Because of that.
And then the next year, they didn't do the haunted house. They did a harvest festival. And they let us lead it, and we raised money for the nursing home. So it keeps building. So this is an equation of faith. We have to exert our faith to believe that what God is saying we should do, we do.
Yeah, I feel that same way about the whole Matt Beeman thing. Because, I mean,
it's exactly right.
What's taken place for almost for 20 years, he and I have been, you know, almost enemies. And then we get on the Waterwell Guys group, we see each other's humanity, and we start to realize that we have a common enemy, and that's our mountains that we love and we hate, and trying to get in and out of jobs and everything else. We have same difficulties and get to see that, and then we're helping each other, and now selling us a whole cow that one of my employees and pastor and ourselves are splitting up, and for probably less money we'd buy that meat at the grocery store. Yeah, it's just incredible. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. He called me, was it Friday? Just wanting to know about where he could buy something locally and where he could buy some cribbing and stuff. And it's that kind of relationship now. I mean, I'm floored because of this.
Mm-hmm. So what we see happening across our country right now, these instigators, the rioters, those that are encouraging the rioters, they're basically doing Satan's work. They are tearing down. They are robbing, pillaging. They're wiping out somebody's entire life savings. And what's happening is they are trying to overcome evil with evil. You know, it was evil that man lost his life. So evil is trying to overcome that evil. You see how that equation is working? So don't let evil overcome you. How can we know if evil has overcome us? How do we know? How do we know? What can we check ourselves with? One way is if we try to repay evil with evil. Yeah, then evil will overcome us. Another way is we can't do good in that situation. We find we can't do good. We don't want to do good. Evil has overcome us. Another way is when anger and hate fill us over that situation, instead of having a brokenness or compassion or humility towards the situation. You know, we're being prodded, we're being influenced, we're being poked on this evil thing. And, you know, our flesh says, yeah, sounds good. I want to get in there and tear it up a little bit. But we've got to not let evil overcome us. It's a spiritually driven problem. Satan is working, and God wants to work in us. And it's a spiritual solution. If we will change, if we will be transformed and apply God's principle, that divine love, hearts have to change in this situation. And it comes from the heart. Our heart drives whether goodness comes out or wickedness comes out. Whatever goes in is what comes out. If you've been kind of keeping track of what's going on, you can see you have to come away from the situation scratching your head, because there is no secular solution to the issue at hand. There isn't. Everybody's got one. But none of them will work. It's only Jesus. And we have to apply Jesus to this situation. Christians are not to be people of wanton destruction and violence and thievery and mugging and looting. That should not be us. I mean, if we're going to be out there, we need to be praying. We need to be helping rescue those that are beaten down, or we need to be doing those things. Jesus, when he came, gave us that Sermon on the Mount. And if you'll recall, what he did is he said, you have heard, you've seen it written. And he would cite the law that they all knew. But I say to you, go beyond that. So we need law and order. And we want that. We expect that. But we've got to go beyond that in this situation. So, by way of finishing up our reflection and our takeaway, consider this. Justice is not for one race only. Justice is not for one race only. That's not an acceptable idea. We've read three different verses this morning about how in Christ we're all one. You can't elevate one race over the other. And Jesus doesn't do that. He says, you're all welcome and you're equal in my eyes. The true nature of justice would be a sincere concern for the victims of violence, not jumping in and perpetrating violence against those that are violent. Evil does not overcome evil, does it? I mean, it just ends up, you know, total destruction. And violence doesn't overcome violence. I mean, how silly is it? Let's go be violent to complain about violence. Let's go be evil to complain about evil. It doesn't work. But love overcomes both. What's the takeaway or the reflection you have this morning on this this message? What can you take away from it this week?
Oh. Back in Colossians, that thing, and this has been working on me for months to remember, is in Colossians 3:3. It says, for you have died, and you your life is hidden with Christ in God. So it's only Christ through me that can allow me not to repay evil for evil. Amen. That my natural tendencies are dead and buried.
Amen.
Even to not responding on comments on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, this applies on Facebook too.
Yeah, it's very hard to do. I think, Joel, you know, like you were saying, you specifically have this being overcome with evil when it comes to the politics and the all that stuff that's going on. My issue is with children who are abused or who aren't loved. And this is something that I've been struggling with, and I knew there was a reason that I needed to be in service today. I'm finding it easier to pray for everything that's going on in the world in general. But this comes to me, I think, on a personal level because, like I just said to Daniel, darn no throat punching. Truly, this is like the very first thing that pops into my mind when I hear, you know, about children being abused. I am instantly overcome with evil. Because now, I correct that right away.
She wants to punch someone
at their
first.
I do. It is just like an instant gut reaction, and I didn't really think about it that way. So now I have to reprocess all of this so I can teach this to the children. But I took a lot out of this today.
Well, is there a few seconds of that's okay, so we identify what evil is?
Well, I think we understand what evil is, but once you understand what evil is in that moment, you know, you've got to resist what your natural reaction is, and you've got to be thinking differently.
It's that ability to recognize it. That's what a true Christian can do. I mean, because it's our natural nature to be that way. So as a Christian, we have to consciously catch it and then start preventing it. Like,
So I'm really going to have to pray for blessings on Hillary.